Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that we're able to be together again. I so look forward to these times together when we can share the presence of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, and most importantly, to be ministered to by the Spirit of God. That is God's desire for us to grow in grace and in knowledge and the revelation of Jesus Christ, that we can be strengthened with power and might in our inner man, and that we can be all that God has called us to be. Before the foundation of the earth, beloved, He knew you. He planned for you to be alive at this day, at this hour, and He has a plan for your life, for all of our lives. And in His marvelous, amazing way, because He is God, because He's all-powerful, He's omniscient, He knows everything, all the secrets, the wisdom of the ages are contained within His divine person. There is nothing. The greatest mysteries of all time, the intricacies and details that science is discovering and research, He knows everything because He's God. And because we are just fallible human creatures, greatly loved by Him, but we are so finite, we're so limited, and we can never, never come to a full understanding of the greatness of our God. I think that's be something we will be gradually increasing our perception as we go through the ages of eternity. But God, He knows every person intimately. He sets up kings and removes them. He is very knowledgeable and understands the intricacies and the complexities of national and international issues. He's running the world. He's got the whole world in His hands. But also, He is so intimately involved in your life. Now, all of us have come to varying stages of the realization of this. Oh, we know it theologically, of course. We know God loves us, if you have any familiarity with the Scriptures. But I have been sensing in my spirit, and I shared it recently with UCM Partners in a recent letter, because the times are growing increasingly dark, and we don't know how much longer we have before the return of Christ. We are to redeem the time. The Holy Spirit is with greater emphasis, focusing His work in our individual lives. And I believe there's many of you listening that have known the Lord and love the Lord and walk with Him, perhaps some of you for decades. And yet there is a hunger in your heart and a desire within your person, your being, to be more than you have been, to be more surrendered to God, to understand more fully His will, to be more obedient. And I believe this is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God wants us the end game, the end purpose, as is mentioned in Ephesians, is that we will all come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this is the will of God, Paul says in Thessalonians, even our sanctification. And that is, of course, as I've shared so many times, why God has given leadership to the body of Christ, fivefold ministry, so we all can come together in the unity of the faith. And we haven't arrived yet. So obviously the Holy Spirit is still working. So let's take a moment to just pray, because I want to share a message. It's actually a question. Who sits in the temple? And before we do that, though, let's go to prayer. Father, I thank You for the wonderful privilege and wonderful joy it is to be Your child. And Father, if there's anyone listening that doesn't know You, doesn't have a personal relationship with You, or just perhaps by accident, happened to tune into the station, or perhaps there's much confusion. They don't understand. They're in a search for the things of God. There's a drawing. There's a desire to understand, and there's much they don't understand. Father, we thank you that you are the fountain of wisdom and knowledge, and in you are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So, Father, I thank you that you're going to enlighten every listener. Father, those that are hungry, you said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so, Father, we take delight and comfort in that passage of Scripture. And, Lord, I pray that you'll make us even hungrier, that you'll make us so on fire, so desiring to do your will, Lord, that nothing will be too hard, that we will be delighting to do your will, as the psalmist said, yea, thy law is within my heart. So, Father, thank you for your anointing on the broadcast. And, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will take the inadequacy of my words and make them relevant and significant and consequential in their particular lives. Holy Spirit, you can do that. We are so limited, even with the greatest abilities you may have imparted to us, whatever they may be, it is yet the power of the Holy Spirit that produces the desired effect and result that you desire. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Bless our time together as we go on today and in succeeding days in terms of what you would have me to share. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. I'd like to begin by reading a passage of Scripture found in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4. Paul says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God." And obviously this is a reference to the person of the Antichrist, who will one day, midpoint in the tribulation, to the Jews' horror and astonishment, reveal himself as God, and that he is to be worshipped. And that's the time of Jacob's trouble as it begins. And as we listen to what's going on in the world we live in today, there are certain words, I don't know if you've noticed, on the lips of Christians as well as sinners alike, those out in the world. And one of those words is the word Armageddon. You can hear it just casually mentioned, perhaps, as a reference to some calamity or terrible catastrophe. You can read about it in the newspapers or on TV or hear it in pulpits across the nation. Why are the unconverted and those who do not have a relationship with Jesus using the name of the final battle of their world with such persistency and with such emphasis? Another word is Antichrist. Perhaps it hasn't been used as much as Armageddon, but still you see it everywhere. You hear it in discussion groups, read it in newspapers, magazines, hear it on TV, movies. There's something deeply and profoundly significant in the use of these two words. Now, we as Christians always think of the Antichrist as a man, and of course that is verified by Scripture. That's the opening Scripture I just read, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. And as Christians, we know from Scripture that he is and will rise out of the sea of humanity and become possessed with the incarnate power of the devil. He will seem to be the Superman of the ages. He will have the answers, apparently, to the problems that the world is facing in ever-increasing seriousness and intensity in the days in which we're living. He will be the very personification of evil, and in him will be manifested all the diabolic powers and the venom and hate of hell itself. And I want to share or present a thought to you in this connection. In the Word, we read that the Antichrist is to sit in the temple of God. That will be the temple that is going to be erected. And right now, I understand the priesthood and all the pertinences, all the things that pertain to worship and sacrifices in the temple are already there. They're just waiting for the actual establishment and building of it. That the Antichrist is going to sit in that temple that is going to be built, and that he is to represent himself as God. And as such, what is the point of that? He will demand the worship of subjects. Doesn't that remind you of something, Satan, in the beginning? He said, I will ascend above the throne of the Most High. He wanted the worship of the heavenly host. He was actually jealous of God. Makes you wonder how a created being could even begin to presume to be in that place of authority and position. But it says he was perfect in beauty until the day that iniquity was found in him. He was the covering cherub, probably led the worship choruses before the throne. An angel, archangel, if you will, perhaps of great power, dignity, grandeur, and authority. Even Michael didn't malign him. He just said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And so he is seeking worship. And of course, that has been Satan's plan from the beginning. And so there's no doubt that the refusal to worship him as God will precipitate the disaster known as the time of Jacob's trouble. And it will be the beginning of the abomination of desolation graphically portrayed by Daniel the prophet. Well, I'm seeing my time is drawing to a close. We're just getting into the message, and I hope you can be with us tomorrow at this same time. Should at any point you want to re-listen to a broadcast, or if you miss one, want to hear it, just please go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. And then, of course, as I always do, I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. There are some of listening that are struggling with habits, with the besetting sins that you've just not had deliverance. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. He's beginning to deal with you, and you know that. You sense it. There's power in agreeing prayer. The announcer will give our contact information. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.